live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Man, I am just struck by how much this is the era of the big lie, of the wall of lies, and also the magic trick. Look at the rabbit we're pulling out of the beautiful, beautiful hats, gentlemanly hats. And today, on the day that the Lord has made, it is my joy and responsibility to share with you these things I'm noticing. It's really remarkable to watch the one-sided approach from 99% of news programmers about the COVID flu, right? Cases exploding and surging. We're back to that word surging in the Midwest. Cases don't surge. Testing does. Cases, 90% of the time, a positive test means there's almost no virus in someone's body. So calling that a case of the COVID is the same thing as calling a broken cardboard box of beer bottles. Well, that's a case of beer. Well, there's no beer in there. There's no virus in the body. There's shreds of viral code from a molecule broken up, meaning that the body has conquered it. It might even be that you can't tell what the beer bottle is in that case of beer, where it's just broken beer bottles. You can't even, you have to really examine it. Man, the labels are all washed out. This is old. I can't even tell what sort of beer this was. Same thing with the viral code in people's bodies. Sometimes it's picking up a virus they had years ago. Because despite the myth that this is completely a novel virus, it's not. There's all sorts of studies that show that. How do we know? Well, our T-cell immunities can get rid of it in our bodies. Cross-immunity, meaning our immunities from other coronaviruses like the common cold, getting rid of it. But one-sided media approach from 99% of media. Cases, cases, cases exploding and surging across the country. The Midwest. It's one of the magic tricks. Here's another one. Pretending that Joe Biden is not demented and senile. And look, I'll say it every time because I don't want to be cruel, because it's cruel what they're doing to him. Senility in and of itself seems cruel. This is Joe Biden. He's in the street. He tries to give a little extemporaneous speech, but he's so demented that he can't even give the, he can't even pull the speech off. And you'll hear his handlers start to shoo citizens away because people are filming them on their cell phones. And here come the, they're called body people, moving people out of the way so they can't continue to film this sadly confused old man.
Here's the deal. One of the things that is important is that, keep in mind, although they're going to vote on Barrett, I think
Zach,
today.
Back that line, please. We're going to take that guy. Okay.
He's still talking in the background. He's still talking in the background as they shoo people away. And if you watch this, it's horrific. Because he's looking around, literally, he looks lost. Have you ever seen us? I don't want to compare him to an animal. I mean, look, if you've seen people who are senile and they don't know where they are, that's what you're looking at here. This is one of the great magic tricks. The other magic trick is pretending that Chris Reichdahl did anything but obsess about sex ed in our
schools. Definitely some complaints on whether or not we would have to ask permission from parents to teach. It doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense.
I am not aware.
Boys becoming pregnant.
People put it in the realm of faith. They put it in the realm of personal choice and family belief, not in a learning mindset.
Some folks are deeply, deeply offended by this in our schools, and I respect that tremendously.
No, you don't, or you wouldn't have made it compulsory. You wouldn't have made it opt out, which is possibly you can't opt out of it. But it's not just sex ed. We'll get to that in a second. You want to know how desperate they are to hide sex ed? Not only did they figure out a way to get the news programmers in this region to pretend it doesn't exist, because unanimously, the news program is a pretender. It doesn't exist. You'll never see a news story in this state, unless they publish one now, about the curriculum, comprehensive sex education. You'll hear them run what are basically PR releases for Chris Rakedahl saying it teaches kids how to make friends. Yeah, right. It does. Sure it does. Well, I mean, if I don't want to get into it, we'll get to that. There's a group, believe it or not, calls itself the United Church of Christ, that owns some of this perverse curriculum. They're suing Informed Parents of Washington, threatening them with a $150,000 fine if they continue to inform voters about this curriculum that may well be law here. But it's not just that. Jason Rantz has a story up at KTTH.com about a teacher caught on video trying to indoctrinate a kid away from Donald Trump, and the kid's 13 years old. He pushes back.
Let me put it this way. It's kind of like if you're trying to look up information about someone who thinks they're a hero based on stuff that they're approving themselves. So you're going to want different sources. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's his words, and but
exactly.
He's telling the truth, though.
How do you know?
He's done all of those things, and yeah.
Like, we kind of talked about the wall thing. So, like, I mostly know about this because of my own research. There's only, like, a lot of the wall that's been built has mostly just been replacing old wall that was already there.
I mean, it wasn't really a wall. It was kind of like a fence, you know?
Right, but it's still a barrier.
Yeah.
And the promise was to make a wall all along the border, and only like 100 miles, I think, is the number out of the 3,000 total miles has actual structures.
But I thought there were already barriers.
I'm pretty sure it's more than that, but yeah.
But all the time?
Not all the time, but most of the time, yeah.
Not most of the time. So, I don't know if you know this, but actually immigrants who cross illegally, they perform crimes at a lower rate than U.S. citizens do. And think of it this way. If you or I were to break a crime, like Saber...
So, it's not good for the day? Or...
So, if you're going to introduce bullet points, you kind of sort of have to back up with why that's heroic. Because there's a lot of people who would argue that it's not heroic, and it's actually... A lot of the rhetoric that has been said has been very racist.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Aiden?
Yeah. I mean, wait, what's racist again?
So rhetoric, basically things that Donald Trump has said.
What has he said that's racist? Just wondering.
When he said that Mexico was sending their murderers over.
Hmm.
One, it's wrong because Mexico's not doing that. They want to keep their citizens. And two, it's labeling Mexican immigrants as murderers.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty racial language. So a lot of people would argue that it's actually creating a lot of racist tensions by saying that.
Wow. Well, yeah, Mexico actually doesn't necessarily want to hold on to its murderers and rapists. And not everybody who breaks into the country illegally is a murderer or rapist. Some of them are trying to flee a fallen state, fallen under socialism, now controlled by drug cartels. This area, Washington State, Western Washington, is being put quickly under the control of drug cartels. And Mexico doesn't want their rapists and murderers, and that they have enough mayors being beheaded. This teacher's name is Connor Seaman, and it's Copachuck Middle School in Gig Harbor. What? No, I know what you wanted me to say. I will point this out. Alex was talking in my ear. During the video, the student, Aiden, continues to, he looks back at his own camera, shaking his head like, dude is way, way, way off base as a teacher. Now, point of fact, I don't have a particular problem with teachers debating kids, but he's basically calling the kid a racist. And furthermore, I'm going to guarantee that teacher did not have a similar debate with students who are leftists. Well, and if they did, I'd be glad to play it on the air. And by the way, if Connor is so good at debate, dude, teach, come on my show. We'll do a little Socratic inquiry, you and me, back and forth. We'll talk about which party is pushing racism, which movement is pushing racism. We'll do that. Now, you're about to hear an exclusive here. You know the sex ed curricula that the Seattle Media 5 and Washington State news programmers are committed to saying does not exist? That's weird, because one of the owners of some of this perverse curricula, my judgment, perverse, it calls itself the United Church of Christ, which is weird. They're suing Informed Parents of Washington, which is run by a mother. They want $150,000 from her, threatening to take that from her if she continues to inform you about this curriculum so that you can reject our 90. So apparently the curriculum exists because they're getting sued for showing it. If you want to see an example prior to hearing this of some of the curricula choices, I will show you the third party curricula that is so perverse. It includes teaching kids to use toothbrushes as sex toys. I'm not kidding. You want to see it? Show your friends. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. The attorney for Informed Parents of Washington joins us in 60 seconds on the Todd Herman Show after we check traffic. Listeners to my show know that I have been pretty fanatical about the comprehensive sex education issue and am very insistent that people reject R90. And I think I've exposed this perhaps more than anyone in the media. I was just stunned to read a letter from a group that calls itself the United Church of Christ, demanding that Informed Parents of Washington take down samples of their curricula because they claim it's a copyright issue. So I'm pleased to help welcome to the show Mark Lebecki, who is a Seattle attorney speaking for himself here, not his firm. Mark, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate the welcome. And you're right, I'm speaking for myself. But I have been authorized to work on the case by my firm.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you doing this. And so this United Church of Christ, and I'm pretty surprised to find out there's a church backing this curriculum. That's me talking personally. It doesn't need to be your opinion. Sent your clients a note and is effectively accusing them of violating copyright by showing voters the curricula that is at issue in R90. So let's talk about this.
Well, they're partially correct because as a matter of law, they are in fact showing something that is a copyrighted material. Then you look at the circumstances of the showing to determine whether they have the power to enforce a takedown. That's where things get hairy. But yes, it is copyrighted material. And yes, we did portray 14 pages of 498. And I want to point that out because substantiality of the copying is always one large part of determining whether copyright infringement occurred.
All right. So in this case,
the exposition of those 14 pages is allowed under what's known as the fair use doctrine. The idea behind the fair use doctrine is that in situations where something is necessary for the purposes of comment, in the courts it's called transitional, meaning that it's not being used for the same purpose in the copying as what it was published for. So in this case, it was published as part of a curriculum that was used for instruction. And if my client, the informed parents, were to use that to create their own curriculum, that might be a copyright infringement. But because their purpose is instead to essentially report as news that this is part and parcel of what will be essentially the legally binding curriculum of the state of Washington, that's newsworthy. And that's where it makes the transaction between essentially copying and fair use.
So, Mark, Lorbecki's with us, an attorney speaking on his own behalf, not on that of his firm, and working for the clients, his clients, Informed Parents of Washington. Mark, I'm not an attorney, but I've had a lot of attorneys work for me back in my days as an entrepreneur. I read a lot of demand letters. This one comes with a $150,000 price tag attached to it, as I'm reading it from this group that calls itself the United Church of Christ. I read this as maybe even a little bit of a bullying tactic.
Oh, I think it is. obviously, the only reason they added the damages there was essentially to scare a poor mother who has done this basically as a labor of love, and assure her that she would be bankrupt if she pursued this further. I mean, if that's not bullying, I don't know what would be. And in fact, you know, if this were a true copyright infringement as opposed to a fair use of the material, they would be right. There is statutory authority for what are known as statutory damages. Remember that copyright is sort of a poor man's IP. It's for photographers and musicians and, you know, individuals like yourself who can immediately get protection for their works and may not always be in a position to prove damages. So statutory damages are out there. Congress has mandated a statutory damages essentially to allow in situations where an artist might not be able to immediately show their own damages for a situation, and then each instance might have between $10,000 and $150,000 as statutory damages. But to be entitled to that, you have to show that it is not a fair use of the work. So, yeah. It's not like you punch a button and all of a sudden $150,000 moves from the PAC's bank account over to the United Church of Christ. It doesn't work that way.
No, and I read your letter back to this group that calls itself the United Church of Christ that apparently owns this, as I see it, very, very extreme sex ed curricula for seventh to ninth graders. And in your note back to them, you gave a couple of offers. One was, it seems to me, you said you would listen to their argument if they could show you where you were wrong. You laid out some precedent that this is Ninth Circuit. Do you think they can come back with any precedent to show that a mother or a political organization or a news person on an issue where this is on the election? I mean, this is R90, as you said. This is, if R90 fails, this becomes the law. Can they come back with any precedent to say, well, no, in this case or that case, we got, you know, someone got to ban a news organization or someone from exposing this?
Oh, Todd. You know, everyone wants an attorney to speak as though there were no possible way that they could come back. I think I've been at this for about 35 years. And one thing that I've learned is that it pays to say, well, if you've got something, show it to me. And that's what I did here, especially when I'm not playing with my own interests. I'm really playing for the Informed Parents of Washington. So as much as I'd love to stick my chin out, ball my fists and get ready to bop them in the nose, that's not the way I handle this. Now, having said that, I feel myself fairly well informed on this topic, and I am aware of nothing that would cause me to back off of this right now. If they have something, I'd be more than happy to look at it, but I don't throw these things out there with no research behind them, with just a chip on my shoulder in the hope that that somewhere behind me is a big guy who's going to defend me after I get into this fight. But no, I pretty much know what I'm looking at here. And if fair use isn't meant for situations like this, it's very hard to understand where fair use would kick in. Because obviously, The informed parents of Washington aren't using this for the purpose of in any way competing with the Church, the United Church of Christ. Their sole purpose is to inform parents. I mean, and gee, funny they picked that name for the pack. But to inform parents of the exact extent of what is going to be the law. And what's really important about this is that there is federal statutory law that says that parents have the right to know exactly that about what's being taught to their children, especially on this point of sexual education, about which reasonable minds could differ.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you've taken the case on to work with Informed Parents of Washington. Mark Lebecki's been with us, speaking for himself, not as firm. How do people get in touch with you if they have a First Amendment or intellectual property right needs or need some defense?
Well, maybe the easiest way, especially in these days of the COVID crisis, and unfortunately, I live on the wrong side of the West Seattle Bridge, so it's a little tougher for me to get in each day. May I give my email address as a primary way to get in touch with me? It's my first initial M, and then my last name spelled out L-O-R, B as in Bravo, I, E, C as in Charlie, K as in Kilo, I, at WKG.com.
Very good.
And I'd be happy to look at things. I want people to understand that sending an email to me does not initiate an attorney-client relationship. So I don't want them to think that I immediately represent them by simply sending me an email.
Very good. Mark Lebecki's been with us, attorney in Seattle representing Informed Parents of Washington. Appreciate you coming on, Mark, and go with God's good grace.
Well, I thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Just a weird thing. The United Church of Christ is what this group calls itself that owns this, what I consider to be a perverse curricula that we're told doesn't exist. If you want to see some examples of what we're talking about, not necessarily from them, but some third-party groups that teachers are supposed to steer kids to, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. Todd, I'm sure we'll continue the text messages.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise. Be precise. And drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
As the big voice said, when you text in, those are the rules, but we didn't have time to get the big voice to say, give yourself a nickname. So first time you text in, you only need to do it one time. Give yourself a nickname. After that, Alex will have it there, so I see it. You don't have to spend all the extra time typing your name every time you type in at 800-465-8770. Note from Dan, who does a great service. He has an email list that he maintains that's super filled with information. And we use it fairly often, actually, in show prep. I always try to give him credit. Although when I do that, I use his nom de plume that he uses on that list. So I won't disclose that today. Dan wrote about the segment we did yesterday, text messages yesterday. You might remember the note from Daughter of the King. She is a grown woman who, when she was 11, was assaulted in a rape. And that affected her life. It led to her being sex trafficked when she was in her 30s. And she has recaptured her life, and she's in control of her life, and obviously knows that she's loved by God. And consequently, she's very much against this vile, ridiculous sex ed curricula being forced into the schools by Jay Inslee and Chris Rakedahl. That's why you need to reject our 90 and vote for Maya Espinosa. Dan writes, Todd, I appreciate your efforts to expose this vile comprehensive sex education. I have to correct a texter. She stated she was raped at 11 and suffered greatly, and I'm sure both are true. Yet she did blame just men for the CSE curricula when almost every Democrat man and woman in the legislature supported this for the children. They become the pedophilia party. That's what Dan writes. He continues, I wrote the full legislature repeatedly about this bill and never heard from a Democrat regarding my objections, repulsive to say the least. If anyone in the public took this curricula and spoke to children with it at a park, etc., we'd be arrested, and rightly so, and put on a sex offenders list. Even with that being said, they passed this evil. So where are the women in the legislature on the Democrat side protecting little girls? This has to make you wonder. They're all at fault, but one would think that one would have to have been appalled. Apparently not, considering the cause and effect of the destruction of a child's innocence. God help us, Dan. Dan, appreciate the note, and clearly I was aware of that when I was addressing Daughter of the King's note. That women were involved in this on the Democrat side as well. I just didn't choose that time to say, yeah, but also, so you're exactly right. It's the entire party in Washington state. This is what happens when extremes take over, right? I've talked about this before. If you live with a lot of cats, you cannot smell the stink, right? Eventually, you're just immune to it. If you live around beautiful smells like pine trees, you know, if you got a lot of trees in your yard, you'll have people come and say, oh, my gosh, the pine trees smell amazing. You don't see it. You can't smell it. I don't think the Democrats can smell this any longer. I also think the influence of big money from big pharma and Planned Parenthood and the World Health Organization who's pushing this, I think it's just something they can't, they feel they can't avoid. When you spend time with people who are so extreme in their views and so extreme in seeking power, then it just becomes a day at work that they don't even realize it. This is like Washington, D.C., where people talk about hundreds of billions of dollars and they don't even feel it. They don't even stop to imagine what that means. You know, with our now $32 trillion or $35 trillion in debt, you can roll that off your tongue and it doesn't mean anything. We talked earlier with Zach Abraham about not owning anything, about the World Economic Forum conning people into giving up the only form of security you have economically, which is ownership. It's just phenomenal to behold. Betsy from Portland, Oregon, writes to the Todd Herman Show. Dear Todd, I'm very concerned about what you call the wall of lies about COVID-19. Here's my concern. I'm a therapist. It is my job to meet in person with clients and help them work through issues. About 4 weeks ago, I got COVID. It was a pretty severe flu. It wasn't fun to have, but I never did anything more serious than take Tylenol and zinc and vitamin D and magnesium. Luckily, I didn't need to be hospitalized. I'm in my 50s. I'm a little bit overweight. So it might have hit me harder, and I'm glad that it didn't. That was about 4 weeks ago. Recently, my daughter tested positive for COVID-19. She's 19. She's healthy. She didn't know she had it until she was forced to get tested by her college. Here's where this affects me. I can't see my clients because I've been exposed to COVID-19, though I have antibodies to it, though for all we know, I'm immune to it, as most people are once they get a virus, at least for a month or a year or 2 or 3 years. Yet, I have to go get retested. I know, because I listen to your program, that these tests are going to find me positive 9 out of 10 times, even if I can't get sick, because there's only dead shreds of virus in my body. What this means now is I need to go back to telehealth for my clients. That's all good and well, but I practice something called EMDR, which requires I see my clients. By the way, my clients are, many of them are first responders. I have firemen, firewomen, police officers, and police women because we work with trauma. I feel terrible that I can't help them because I have a virus that I probably don't even have. This is what we've been saying on the show. This is the trap. This is what we said when they created the metric for reopening cities and counties, when they based it upon positive tests. We said it 7 months ago when Jay Inslee and other governors said our metrics for reopening will contain the number of positive tests. I said at the time, they never have to reopen. All they have to do is test. And they can keep the economies shut down. And in Oregon, you live down there. You're in a state owned by Antifa. So at least, I mean, this is maybe minor on the list in terms of, you know, of your concerns about your state. But I appreciate your concern about the first responders. Sounds like it's a great big client base for you. On a direct message on Twitter, Dallas writes, Todd, does Lauren Culp have a chance? Let me ask you this, Dallas. What have you done for Chief Culp? Lauren put his head out, put his neck out and ran. He's been crisscrossing the states, or the state, rather, going to rallies to try to defeat Jay Inslee. The Seattle Media 5 has ignored his campaign. We've had him on the show. I was honored to speak at one of his rallies. Dallas, he has a chance if you are personally taking ownership for getting people to come in and vote for the man. If you are personally going to make sure that every single Republican in this state turns out, then yes, Chief Culp has a chance. But if you're waiting for someone else to do it, then no, he does not have a chance. Also on Twitter, Happy Dance. Todd, will you please disclose where you keep your sources of COVID information? Well, will I disclose it? Look, I've put this on the text line countless times. I tell you what, tomorrow, because the COVID is the election, I'll go back through and once again, I'll give you access to my scribd document. In fact, I will tweet that out today. I'll tweet that out. I don't know if I'm unlocked in Facebook yet because I was in Facebook jail. Todd, you're ridiculous. The lies you continue to repeat about COVID-19 are getting people killed. I hope you die. Well, Sally, great news. I am going to die. One day I will. That's the extent of your note to me. That's the extent of what you wrote. Where are the lies? You took time to write this to me in email. You went to ktth.com. You found my email address. You wrote that to me. With a throwaway email address. That's not even your email address. It's, I tried to write you back. You can't name a single lie I've told. Because they don't lie about the COVID. Because everything I say is based in fact that I disclose. Tomorrow I'll put my COVID research sheet back up on the text line. We'll come back and wrap up the day with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH.
Main Street. Down on Main Street.
Ooh. On a personal note today, I'm fond of saying I think God signs his work. I think that the Lord has signed the work and the brilliance of the way our DNA works. And if you study that at all, it is fascinating. It has less code in our DNA than exists in two Firefox browsers. Now, just fathom that. The code that tells our bodies how to build themselves, how to repair themselves, whether we're male or female, we're going to be tall or short. That code is so elegant, there's less language in it than exists in two Firefox browsers. It's phenomenal. I also think he does this with animals. And I grew up hunting, and I am well familiar with hunting and quite comfortable with people who do this. There's this misguidance that people who hunt dislike animals. I've found that to be completely the opposite, as a matter of fact. Yesterday, I was driving home from the store, and that's a bit of a drive out here. And headed back up the mountain, I saw a couple of young deer, first-year fawns, now kind of teenagers, crossing the street. And when you live in an area like we live as we stay in Idaho during Jay Inslee's medically useless deadly lockdown, you get to know your deer. Right? This is a family. We know this family. But the mother's not with them anymore. I don't think the mother's dead. I haven't seen any dead deer. I think she's fine. I think she's reached a point where she lets the deer, the fawns, wander a bit. Oh, hey, I'm feeling nervous. She's mute other than that. And yet, I watch these deer fully capable of being deer. Fully capable of walking into a field and knowing what to eat and what not to eat. I think it goes to warmth. It's cold here. We got our first snow. The first snow was well over a foot. And I know that the deer gather together when there is cold. I know that they, you know, families upon families will gather and sleep together. And you can see this if you see where they've bedded for the night. I know they've got that figured out. But there's that exchange of warmth. What about for us as parents in our silent movie with our kids? Child comes to the room scared at night, stands in the doorway. Silently, we can welcome them into our bed where it's warm, where it's safe, where mom and dad are there, and everything's okay. Silently. Rebukes. I've seen her do this with these deer. I've seen where they've crossed the line and, for instance, gone too far into the street without a permission. I've seen her stomp her hoof. I don't think deer get angry, but she's stern. Oh, I've seen her in the backyard where they continue to try to feed, try to breastfeed with her. She will not have it. I saw her push one of them into the ditch the other day because she said, I am done with that part of my life. You need to eat what's available to you on the ground and like I've taught you. In our silence, we have those moments with children where this is the thing you need to handle on your own. How does that work in our silent movie? Is it a putting up of our palm on your own? Is it a look of, you can handle this? This is yours. In our silent movie with our kids, what are we showing them? Now, I've never seen this mother deer around a buck because that's not how deer operate. But humans operate that way. We're usually, or I shouldn't say usually, but often, and I think should be, two parents, a mom and a dad. What are the baby deer seeing then? When one of us comes home and the other's here, do we ignore one another? Do we walk past? If the child is in our silent movie and a child is watching, are they learning how to be a welcoming spouse? How to be an attentive spouse without sound? Without a greeting of, hi, honey, I love you. I'm a little bit busy. What would they see? What modeling would they pick up? What are they going to be like when they're married? Are they going to be a welcoming spouse? Are they going to be a parent who beckons the scared child into their bed soundlessly, quietly, and silently? That's what I observed with these deer. Who know how to be deer because their mostly silent mother taught them how to be perfect deer. The Great Rush Limbaugh Show is next. I hope I have the privilege of speaking with you tomorrow on this radio station. It's the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We have podcasts everywhere. But go be well, be strong, and be kind.